Turn your Bibles to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And we're listening in on Jesus' conversation with his disciples. He's communicating with them just hours before his arrest. He has told them he's going away. They're obviously very upset about this. And he is ministering to them words of comfort. And these words of comfort are centered upon the coming of the Holy Spirit. In other words, I'm going away, Jesus says, but you will not be left alone. My Spirit is coming. My Spirit is going to be dwelling in you and will be with you and go with you wherever you are. Now, of course, the disciples, as we have talked about in the past several weeks, they have become kind of self-centered because Jesus has talked about, you know, persecution, hatred is going to come. In fact, they're even going to be killed. And so, you know, the disciples are really overwhelmed with all of these different things and the emotions that go along with them. And again, now we're in a section where Jesus, again, is taking their minds and he's pointing them right back to the Spirit. The Spirit is going to come, and he is, again, highlighting the ministry of the Spirit. And we looked last week in chapter 16 at verses 7 through 11. And in that passage, we see the Spirit's ministry to the world. Now, in the context, the world is those that is speaking of those that do not know God or Jesus Christ. They don't know him. They don't know him. And so we saw in verses 7 through 11, the Spirit's ministry to the world. To convict the world of sin. We talked about how that the Spirit is going to work through God's men to expose sin through the faithful preaching of the gospel. As the disciples who were going to become apostles faithfully preached the word of God, they would, through the Spirit's power, expose sin as they preached. And we saw that in the book of Acts. So the Spirit's ministry to the world, convict the world of sin, convict the world of righteousness. Well, what is righteousness? Righteousness, it's the standard, God's standard. And Jesus was that standard. And he lived it out faithfully on earth. But now he's going away. But now the Spirit is going to allow Christ's followers, his apostles specifically in the context, to live out Christ's righteousness through their lives, that the world might still see a glimpse of God's standard, of God's righteousness. Now, of course, these people aren't perfect like Jesus Christ, but with the Spirit of God in them, Spirit of God in us, well, we sure have a better chance of living out God's righteousness, God's standard. And so what we're seeing here is the Spirit is going to convict the world of righteousness as the church lives out who they have been called to be. Spirit-filled believers, people who live out their calling as followers of Jesus Christ, empowered by the Spirit of God to impact the world for Jesus Christ. Convict the world of judgment, yet another ministry of the Spirit to the world. And in that, the Spirit wants the world to realize that your father, the devil, the father of the world, is already condemned, already been judged. So where does that leave those who follow him? Condemned and already judged. Why is all of that significant? Well, because Jesus Christ came and lived a perfect sinless life, dying on the cross, paid the penalty of sin, was buried, rose again, ascended to the Father in heaven, that the world might know the love of God and that they might be saved, that they might see Jesus as the giver of eternal life. And so the Spirit is going to minister to the world through the church, through the apostles, through the faithful preaching of the word, through the living out faithfully of Christ's followers, the gospel, and Christ's example. and the declaration that the devil's already condemned. We do realize, don't we, because we have the completed Word of God here, that the devil, his end is already spelled out. The book of Revelation tells us that. Revelation 19 and 20, or chapters 19 and 20 speak of him being thrown into the lake of fire, alive, tormented, forever and ever. That's his end. That's already spelled out. That's in word. It's written. That's the father of the world. Well, tonight we're going to look at verses 12 through 15, where we see the Spirit's ministry to the disciples. So let's look at it. Verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. Here we see the Spirit's ministry to the disciples. So we saw the Spirit's ministry to the world. All right? And just remember something. That shows us God's heart for the lost. The very fact that God, in sending his Spirit, has a heart to reach out to the world, to convict the world. That we're seeing the mercy of God there. That's the love of God. That's why you and I are here tonight. It's because the Spirit's work to the world. Because we're born part of the world, not knowing God. And we were convicted of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. We've chosen to believe and become followers of Jesus Christ, Christians. Well, let's look at the Spirit's ministry to the disciples. As you look at this passage, verses 12 through 15, you cannot miss this phrase, show you. Okay? This phrase, show you. If you look at that passage, you see in verse 13, at the end of the verse, he will show you things to come. And then you look at verse 14, the end of that verse, and shall show it unto you. And then look at verse 15, end of the verse, shall show it unto you. That word show means to announce, to declare, to make known. Now, let's think context here. Jesus is speaking to whom? He's speaking to the disciples, 11 of them now. There's 11 disciples, 11 men walking with Jesus from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he is going to be arrested there. So there's 11 disciples going. The 12th, Judas Iscariot, is taking another route with the soldiers, and they're going to arrest him. So the 11 disciples are being instructed with these words. And this announcing, this declaration, the Spirit is going to be making to these men. Now, what is he going to be declaring? What is he going to be showing them? And this is important because, remember, Jesus is going away, but the Spirit is coming, and the disciples are given a mission. We see that at the end of Jesus' earthly time on earth, before he ascended, he told them they were to go out into all the world to preach the gospel. Now, they haven't been instructed that specifically as of yet here in this context, but it's pretty clear that Jesus has a mission for them. There's a purpose for these men. And he's kind of preparing them and building that foundation in their lives. And here he's saying the Spirit is going to be showing you, announcing to you the truth and things of me. So let's look here. Verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Interesting, isn't it? That Jesus, he's watching these men and he's understanding their their personalities, understanding their fears, their struggles. And he has so much to share with them. But he's like, you're not ready for it. You can't bear it now. You can't, that idea of bearing is you're carrying a burden. And you can't handle that right now. Keep in mind, Jesus knows what these disciples are going to deal with in the next hours. I mean, they're going to see their Lord arrested, betrayed with a kiss from one of their own. And they're going to scatter because they are terrified. I mean, they'll really quickly forget a lot of these things, but they're terrified. And then the trial, and we know John, he's at the cross, but you don't see many of the other disciples. I mean, Peter, of course, he hung around, but what did he do? He denied the Lord. There's going to be a lot of just turmoil in these men's lives. And then after Jesus died, where are they? They're all huddled together in a room. They're terrified. The doors are locked. So Jesus here, he's giving them what they need when they need it. And he's not rushing, pushing things. But he knows there's going to come a time when they're going to need more. And he's preparing them for that. And he's saying the Spirit's the one that's going to continue that ministry of giving you what you need when you need it. That's encouraging, isn't it? It had to be encouraging for the disciples, and even, you know, just wonder what they were considering and thinking about huddled in that room after Jesus had died, and, you know, wondering about the resurrection and all those things. And you just wonder if they began to rehearse these things. So, Jesus understands these disciples. And we see that in verse 12. So verse 13 here, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, notice what he will do. He will guide you into all truth. I wrestled with that phrase. The Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth several times in this book. John seems to like that reference, or under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That was a title that was given to him. That is significant because there are many voices out there. You will hear many instructions and voices that are trying to tell you different things, but Jesus wants these disciples to know we're talking about the Spirit of truth, my Spirit. And it's an interesting study to look at truth through the Gospel of John. Because we're all familiar with John 14:6, okay? I am the what? I am the, say it with me, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth. That was John 14:6. We're in John 16. So he's already told them that. I am the way, the truth. And now we're talking about the Spirit of truth. It fits. Because the Spirit is sent by the Father and is representing Jesus Christ. And you cannot understand this passage correctly and deal with all that is in here if you do not believe in the Trinity and in the equality of all those persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all equal, all being one, but yet they're three, and they all have different ways they manifest themselves in ministry, but they're all one, and it's so interchangeable and intertwined in these passages. You'll see that here. So, he will guide you into all truth. As we're thinking about truth, I just want us to take a brief perusal through the Gospel of John to remind ourselves about how truth is linked to Jesus Christ, okay? Because that is the emphasis of the Spirit's ministry, Jesus. So, keep your finger in John 16, go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, look at verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. By the way, who's the Word being referred to here? Jesus. And it's significant that it's the Word. That is important. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and what? Truth. Full of grace and truth. Truth stands out in stark contrast to the lies of the devil. Look at verse 17, same chapter. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and what? Truth came by Jesus Christ. Go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, "If you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. And you shall know the what? Truth. And the truth shall make you free." Notice the direct link, the direct association between Jesus's word and the truth. They go hand in hand. They are together. They're linked. Jesus' word, "If you continue in My word, you're My disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Then, of course, we came to John 14, verse 6. We've already talked about that, where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And we come to chapter 16, where the Spirit now is going to guide these disciples into all truth. All the truth. You know, John chapter 17, which obviously is the next chapter coming, Jesus is praying to His Father, has a very interesting commentary on this and will help us understand it a little bit more. So we're going to look ahead a little bit. I think that's okay. But the story is building here, but I want you to see how in Jesus' prayer He even adds more to this idea in this picture of Himself and His Word and the truth. Look at John 17 now. In verse 17, it says, "Sanctify them through Thy truth." Thy Word is what? Thy Word is truth. "As Thou hast sent Me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify Myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." Truth, truth, truth. And then, of course, you have Pilate. You have Pilate there in chapter 18, where Pilate, he's speaking to Jesus, verse 37. Pilate therefore says unto him, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears My voice." And that's the last place you see truth mentioned in the Gospel of John. Where, well, Pilate in the next verse says, "What is truth?" And then you don't see it anymore. Truth is directly associated with Jesus' voice, with His words. "Everyone that is of the truth hears My voice." Well, with that commentary in mind, we go back to John chapter 16. So the Spirit of truth is come. He will guide you into all truth. For, now, this is important because what the disciples are going to need is they're going to need some parameters, they're going to need some help in discerning and understanding the Spirit and the truth. And so, therefore, what Jesus does here is He specifies for them how the Spirit's going to be accomplishing this ministry. What is He going to be doing specifically? Look at your text. Verse 13, "He will guide you into all truth, for..." Now look what He does. "He shall not speak of Himself." That's significant. What's that mean? The Spirit is not going to speak of Himself. In other words, the Spirit is not going to be all about Him, speaking of Him, delighting in Himself, glorifying Himself. It's not what He's about. He is about another purpose, another person. He's about Jesus Christ. You can see that spelled out here. So he's going to not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. So in other words, the Spirit is a conduit. A conduit that's allowing Jesus to minister to these disciples. And the Spirit's like the conduit. The Spirit is just taking what he hears from Jesus Christ and making it known to these disciples. You cannot miss how Jesus Christ is the central figure here. I mean, Jesus Christ is making it very clear that the Spirit is representing and ministering on his behalf to these men. Because the Spirit is taking what he hears from Jesus and allowing these men to understand it. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you, there's our word, he will show you things to come. Think about the Bible that you hold in your hand. Think about the books of the Bible and all of it in the New Testament there, and think about who wrote those books. Let's just review a little bit, okay? Think about the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew, one of the apostles. You have John Mark, associate of the Apostle Paul. You have Luke, so another associate of the Apostle Paul. You have John. You have Paul. And Paul's an interesting one because he wasn't here on this night. He wasn't walking down the road with them. But it's very clear, and as you look through the New Testament, that he was one chosen by God and sent, a sent one. I mean, just look at his conversion on the road to Damascus and his mission to speak the gospel to the Gentiles. You have James, the half-brother of Jesus, associate of the apostles, leader of the Jerusalem church. You have Peter, apostle. You had Jude, half-brother of Jesus, associate of the apostles. A lot of these men hearing these words from Jesus or associated with those that were there that night. Look at the gospel, look at the book of Acts, and you cannot miss the incredible ministry that God had through these men as the church exploded across the Roman Empire. How is that possible? It's because of the Spirit. Because it's the Spirit of God. And these men, indwelt by the Spirit on that day of Pentecost, began to preach and declare God's truth. And those that were in the world began to be saved. And as they were saved, the church began to grow and was established and began to spread across the world. Scattered because of persecution. Jesus said that was all going to happen. The Spirit's ministry to the disciples is guiding them unto all truth, showing them things to come, showing them what is going to happen. You look at the books of the Bible and you read those epistles that were written to those churches, and you realize that the Spirit of God was helping these men to write down these truths. And we have in our hand today the written Word of God. God chose to have His Word written down, and He chose to do it through these men that were empowered by the Spirit of God. And He wrote them down. They wrote them down. And so that puts within our hand this truth that the Spirit heard from Jesus and declared to these men who preached it and wrote it down. Now, verse 14. The Spirit's not going to speak of Himself, but He is going to speak of Jesus. He's going to glorify Jesus. And listen, church, you need to have discernment in these days, because there are counterfeits. There are those that will masquerade themselves as ministers of light. But who do they glorify? Jesus is the one that must be exalted and glorified. Be discerning and understand that Jesus is going to be glorified by the Spirit of truth. Again, verse 14, Jesus reminds them again, he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Again, showing it, announcing, making it clear for these men. In verse 15, all things that the Father hath are mine. Now notice what Jesus is doing here. Jesus is connecting the dots. All that the Father hath are mine. So we've got the Father and Jesus. And what the Father has, Jesus has. How can you reckon with that if you don't believe in a Trinity and but the equality, one God, three persons? How do you work this out if you don't believe that? All that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine. Who's the he? The Spirit shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. And in this verse we see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all with one purpose, communicating the same message and declaring it to these disciples and equipping and preparing them for the ministry that is to come, the days that will come. And we see that happening in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, you know, just then after the book of Acts ends, he just continues on. We see the epistles being written, the book of Revelation written by the Apostle John. All of that being revealed by the Spirit. And the Spirit doing that to these men so that the church would have the truth. And so therefore we have the truth, we have what we need to accomplish God's purpose and mission for us on this earth. And that is to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ that others might know him and be saved. We have what we need. It is interesting to think about what Peter wrote in his epistle. In 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. This is the Apostle Peter with Jesus this night in John chapter 16. And the Apostle Peter writing to a church that is being persecuted because of their faith. And he's writing, and he's reminding them that because of Jesus and his divine power, you've been given, we've been given, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You've got what you need to make it, to live for him. You've got great and precious promises that you might be partakers of the divine nature. Church, you can live for God in these days. Despite the persecution, you can live for God. The Spirit is faithfully fulfilling his ministry, and you see it here in the Apostle Peter in his letter to these people. So the Spirit, he has a ministry to the world. He has a ministry here to the disciples. And that's the context. That's what the context allows us here, is to understand how the Spirit will minister to the world and how the Spirit ministers to his disciples and will minister to them in the days ahead. What are we to do with this? Well, church, we need to be discerning, understanding that the Spirit of God has a specific ministry and it's about glorifying Jesus Christ. Don't allow yourself to be caught up in different things where you might be glorified or where the Spirit is glorified, but rather it is all to be all about him, Jesus. Be discerning of that fact. Be discerning of that. Trust the Word of God. Because the Word of God has been given to us as God's truth, as what Jesus wanted to declare to the world, to people, to His church. Trust it. Know it. Follow it. Because it's what Jesus wanted to say to us. It's what He wants you and me to hear. Praise God for these apostles and the ministry of the Spirit in their lives and their associates. That today we might know the voice of God. And in knowing the voice of God, we know the truth of God. Thank you, God, for our time together. It's been a blessing. And I pray that you would encourage and empower your people as they go throughout their week. Lord, encourage these families. Encourage the Moyer family, Lord, as they grieve the loss of a dad, but Lord, as they just do rejoice in his homegoing. And Lord, you do have a precious soul that is with you now. Lord, I pray that as each one goes to their specific places of employment or home, wherever they might be, God, would you just give them discernment? Lord, help them to rejoice in your word, to be fed by it, encouraged by it. In Jesus' name, amen.